Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Meg on a manic Monday with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. By request, Jason Boatwright is here, and he is the chief of community and government affairs for the Pensacola Veterans Affairs. Yes,
it's a long title.
It's a long title.
It's a very long title.
Is that close?
Yeah, you did good.
Okay, so we're here today on this manic Monday, and it's hard when it's raining, and you had a great weekend.
Well, I didn't want to get out of bed. I'm sure other people didn't want to either.
I know. I felt the same way. I did. But the good news is we did get up out of bed. We're here. And so many questions, so little time. Tell us what's going on with the VA.
Well, we're still chugging along. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that are worried about what's going on in the news and everything with the cuts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that I have noticed is that care is not going to get cut.
Well, that's good news.
But the process is in place. It's really an unknown.
It's an unknown.
It's really an unknown.
Have you seen any changes locally just since the beginning of the year? Are you noticing any changes that are affecting our services here?
Or? No, not that I have seen. Mm-hmm. Now, in other places I have, because, you know, like with our clinic specifically, you know, we have a high, high patient census. We serve 36,000 veterans versus other places. Like, I know there was a medical center in Ohio I was looking at that only had a census of like 20%, and they were an actual medical center.
Interesting. Okay.
So looking at something like that to where, like, do we really need a hospital for only like, we're only at 20% capacity versus places in Pensacola where we have over 100% capacity.
Right, right. Interesting. Well, if you have a question for Jason, you can text that in at 850-437-1620. This is the expert panel, and I would say he is our local expert on what's happening with Veterans Affairs here in the Pensacola area. And he was sharing with me that in recent weeks he's been getting tons of texts and voicemails and emails from everybody asking questions.
Yeah,
What's probably the most common question that you're getting these days?
Where do I start?
I'm like,
I got 88 text messages from this morning.
This morning alone, 88?
Just this morning alone. And like, I've got three people on here that's like, where do I start? And I always tell them, you know, bring your DD-214.
Mm-hmm. This is to get benefits.
Yeah. Okay. Go, and this is where you start. You got to register first because we got to know that you're here.
Right.
So bring your DD-214, go to the VA and go to Alpha Section.
Okay.
And then they'll get the process started and get you to where the VA recognizes that you are here. And then they're going to be like, okay, what do you want now?
And where is that office located?
It's at the Pensacola Clinic.
Okay. And where is that?
Yeah, right next to Naval Hospital on, Lord, you just had to ask me.
Blue
that.
Angel?
Near Blue Angel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 790 Veterans Way.
Okay,
is the
there
actual
you go.
Address.
Okay, there you go. Because that's helpful. They got to know where to go.
Oh, well, absolutely. You
got
to know
starters.
Where to go. And then that's the real big thing is when you go in there and you actually get registered, and then they'll be like, do you want health care? Yes or no? And then they'll make the first appointment for you. Right there.
Okay, that's good. That's good news.
I've been dealing with that with a lot of the elderly lately. Especially since we had Vietnam Remembrance Day on Saturday. Yeah, the statistics of Vietnam veterans alone are crazy. You know, less than 40% of Vietnam veterans actually use their benefits.
Really?
Yeah, they're the highest demographic of veterans that don't utilize the system.
Why is that?
Well, you have to look at the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Like back then when they came home, they went to work.
Right.
I mean, there was...
Well, they were all so young. They were all like 18 and 19 when they went
young.
Over there.
A lot of them were young. Our time, our world was very different.
Yes,
a lot
it
of
was.
Them were not welcomed when they came back home.
Yes, I have a story about my brother who served in as a helicopter pilot, 68 to 69. And when he came home...
68 was a bad year.
Yes, it was. And when he came home, they greeted him at California Airport. There were protesters there.
Yeah.
One of the guys that had survived, they had been attacked at one point. One of the guys that survived got hit by a bottle and had to be hospitalized.
Oh, that's terrible.
Which was just awful. Not a good homecoming.
No. And when I speak to a lot of the Vietnam veterans, like me and Jeremy Ruffin from Covenant Care on Friday were there. We were passing out pens saying, are you Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
You know, wear it with pride. It said Vietnam veteran on it. A lot of them, you know, would sit there and talk to me and tell me how, like, they just didn't know. They didn't get their benefits till like 20 or 25 years later.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That's just not right.
You know, you look at the way information was back then. It wasn't easily accessible.
True.
A lot of them went home to towns that, you know, a one-horse town with a caution light. And there really wasn't anybody there to actually guide them and help them, and they didn't know till many years later.
Well, people forget that at that time, too, it was a draft. So so many of the people that went were 18, 19 years old right out of high school, or in high school even, just coming out of high school. So you could try to get your college deferment, but if you didn't get that, you were on your way, basically.
Yeah, it's...
And you had to do a one-year term.
Yeah, and that's a lot. And then I actually talked to a few of them that, you know, when they got out, they wanted to go back in. Mm-hmm. But and the majority of them were the 67, 68, 69 era. And they wouldn't let them back in because they saw some things that, like, I know one guy, George, that I spoke with, who was drafted. He said the first night he got off the airplane, a mortar rocket hit his barracks, blew him straight out of it. And at that point, he's like, is this what it's going to be like every single day?
Yeah.
And he was only in for like 2 years, and he's like, I got home and I wanted to go back in. They wouldn't let him back in because of what he experienced. It still bothers him to this day.
Oh, no doubt about it. That was a horrific time period, a horrific war. And I certainly have some stories, but I won't be sharing those this morning. But if you have a question about today and your VA benefits today, you can text that in at 850-437-1620. And again, it was National Vietnam Veterans Remembrance Day on Saturday. So to all of you who served in Vietnam, you hold a special place in my heart. My brother served there as a helicopter pilot in 68, 69. Fortunately, he came home. A lot of his friends didn't. So it's always an important day. And I'm so grateful that we have the memorial here in Pensacola, too.
I do, too.
I do go down there on a regular basis.
And I love it. It's growing with other areas. Mm-hmm. Like you have the Gold Star family on the right-hand side, and you have the service animal dog on the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. It really is growing.
It's a beautiful memorial park. It
is.
Really, really is. Okay, so in terms of what's happening, now here we have, let's see, I've got a question that just came in. How do I apply for Chapter 31 if I'm wanting to start a business? Okay, that's not related to this.
Yeah, Chapter 31 is a VA benefit.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Chapter 31, you have two different levels of education within the VA. The most popular is the GI Bill.
Gotcha.
Everybody knows about the GI Bill.
I see. Okay.
But very few people actually know about VR&E, which is Chapter 31, which is a benefit for veterans with disabilities.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had not heard of that. Okay. So
yeah,
Chapter 31.
That's actually what paid for my doctorate was the Chapter 31.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Very important then.
Yeah. What I try to utilize and tell many veterans is when you are assigned a service-connected disability, you are entitled to 48 months of education. And that can be broken down into many different things. I utilized the education track and went to the University of Kentucky to get my doctorate. But what I talk to a lot of veterans is like, you can use that to actually start a business. And the VA will actually help you and guide you as far as, like, I know one guy, he wants to repair boat motors and do that. He has a disability. And funny enough, he's an attorney. That's that's what gets me. But because of his VA disabilities, which is a lot of mental, he just can't handle it anymore.
Right.
But he found out that he got good pleasure in working with his hands and doing boat motors. So the Chapter 31 process is helping him start a business to go and work on boat motors.
Excellent.
So to actually keep him to where, you know, his quality of life is okay, that is an actual benefit for him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jason Boatwright with the VA Clinic here of Pensacola. If you have some questions, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We'll be back right after the break with your questions. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Our guest this morning, Jason Boatwright, who is here talking about Veterans Affairs. And we did have a question. We were talking about those that had served in Vietnam since Saturday was Vietnam Remembrance Day. My brother served there as a helicopter pilot in 68, 69. And he was exposed to Agent Orange. And this is a question about that. Vietnam veterans were exposed to Agent Orange, and many of them suffered death and severe medical issues. When our veterans are hit with friendly fire, they receive a Purple Heart. Is there a way for our veterans to receive a Purple Heart for their exposure to Agent Orange? Our veterans have been suffering for decades from this and still have not received any recognition. I know it would mean the world to them and their families. Can you look into maybe opening the avenues of parochial to see if anything can get done? And I would echo a big yes on that. My brother eventually
100%.
Passed from the effects of Agent Orange.
Yeah, I push so much for veterans to get their toxic exposure screening. And a lot of them say, well, Jason, I've already got it done. Well, what the VA does is they do that every year. Mm-hmm. It's not just one time, because even though they had effects of burn pits and Agent Orange asbestos, firefighting foam, and all that in like 2024, symptoms may not start showing up until the end of 2025, 2026. So it's always good to get that done every year when you go to see your primary care doctor, or just come in and be like, hey, can we just look at this? Can we go through the criteria? I've been having, you know, problems with my esophagus, problem with my sinuses, or anything like that. To actually get that on the record and on the books to help them get that compensation later on, because that's a very important thing. And also with that, I remember when I worked in Matt Gaetz's office, we looked at an actual Agent Orange service medal. It was actually going through House resolution in Congress.
I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember which way. It was a representative from New Jersey. I'll have to look that up. But I wouldn't mind getting with whoever our next congressman is or congresswoman and actually see about getting that on there, because I do agree. When you think of Vietnam, you think of Agent Orange.
No question about it. And that is what my brother eventually passed from the repercussions of that. So it was not good.
No, not at all.
Okay, so someone did send in the address.
Oh,
we were talking about
I had a brain fog on that one. Yeah.
So South Navy Boulevard. So just in case. And then we had another question. What is the wait time to be assigned to a primary physician?
If it's a new patient, as of Friday, I want to say it was right about 2 months.
Okay.
But that we are actually hiring 3 float doctors, funny enough, in. So we'll actually be at over 23 primary care doctors, which is, that's unreal in most VAs.
Wow. Okay. Yes. All right. Our friend Dara, she says, hi, it's Dara. I know her. 2 of my favorite people together. How sweet. I sent Jason some questions, but I'm also curious how the VA utilizes veteran services organizations in their work.
I utilize it very, very much. I'm a firm believer in collaboration, that we can't do it all on our own, which is why I actually had Dara bring in her organization many times to set up in the clinic. I know Rob Gregg with Pensacola State, he comes. Escarosa Center, they come. When veterans come into the clinic, I want them to not only know that the clinic is there for them, but the community is there for them. And I utilize the many different organizations every month. I have a rolling calendar so that at least one organization every day of every month, so they'll know that the second Tuesday of every month is this one, the third Thursday is this one. So that not only the VA is there, but the community is there to know what services we offer.
That's great. Okay, thanks so much, Dara. Here's another question. If veterans have used all their Chapter 33 education benefits, can we still get back to school with Chapter 31 and get a monthly allowance and tuition paid for? Can you speak on that veterans program? Can I go back and get another bachelor's or master's?
It really depends on how much time they have left on there, because they're very sticklers on that 48 months. However, I have heard in the past that if it's only an extra like 3 or 4 months over the 48 months, that they'll approve it.
Okay.
But that's on a case-by-case basis. But many, many times I've heard that there's been veterans that use that 31 to go get a bachelor's in nursing, and then find out that they have bad leg pain, back pain, neck pain, and they can't do it. And then they reclassify, go back, and get a different bachelor's degree.
Oh, okay.
It's not unheard of.
Okay. Okay, great. These are questions from Crystal as well. And if veterans, let's see, this question is the one that has been, that I asked you when you first walked in.
Oh, okay.
So here it is. Will veteran disability compensation benefits be affected by the DOGE financial cuts?
I've been watching that continuously, but I can tell everybody, I called the VBA this morning, and I asked, have they heard anything on the reduction of certain criteria, specifically sleep apnea and tinnitus? That is a question I get all the time. The word on the street is that tinnitus was going to be lowered from 10% to 0, and sleep apnea was 50 to 10. As of right now, the VBA has not heard anything. So it's just a rumor mill, but there's nothing on the books. So I can tell officially nothing. But then again, the future's unknown. I mean, with cuts, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good answer for what we know right now. Also, I have a question. Does the VA hire physicians part-time?
In certain instances, yes.
Okay.
I know in our Panama City clinic, we do, because that's a booming clinic. But it's not there yet. It's almost like the largest fish in the smallest pond.
Okay, interesting. So I was told by the employees of the VA that they currently only have 17 primary care physicians. You said you're having you're hiring 3 floaters. That makes 20. He also said you have slots for 30.
No, as of right now, they're hiring 3 more.
Gotcha.
So it'll be 20, but they want to do 3 floaters.
Okay.
So that they can actually rotate. The problem is the clinical space. We have to have a place to put the physician. We can't just put them in the waiting room.
So, that makes sense.
So
right.
That's what we're doing. But we're utilizing the floaters in other clinics also, because I know Mobile and Panama City, those are growing clinics.
Okay. So we are talking this morning with Jason Boatwright with Veterans Affairs. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with your questions. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620, talking with Jason Boatwright, who's here with Veterans Affairs, answering your questions. One of the questions, if you're 100% P&T, can your benefits be affected?
Permanent and total disability? No.
Okay.
No, because I'm 100% PT&D, and if you actually look at the form that you have on there, it basically states that you're not going to have another exam. Now, from what I understand, with the way things are changing right now, mm-hmm. if you go in there and file something, you know, they may pull it back and go back and look. But with the way things are going right now, I mean, it's really unknown. But in my history that I've always done it, once you're 100% PT&D, that's it. You're 100% PT&D.
And that's not going to change.
No.
Okay. So we're taking questions this morning by text, 850-437-1620. If you have questions about Veterans Affairs, your services, we just addressed the question about, is anything going to change? We just don't know yet, right, Jason?
That's really it. I mean, I'm monitoring daily. Mm-hmm. I'm staying in contact with many people with the VBA in Montgomery, the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, pretty much anybody in VISN 16 to kind of know what's going on, because I want people here to know first.
Right.
And if there's anything that I need to do as far as like bringing people here to like, hey, do we need to hurry up and have another claims clinic and start filing before anything changes or anything like that? But I'm staying on top of it.
Okay, that's good to know. And you'll come to us, right?
I will come to you by all means. Absolutely.
Well, it's great that you're here this morning because it gives folks an opportunity to ask questions. 850-437-1620. When you first came on this morning, maybe somebody that just joined us, talk a little bit about, you said your most common question, how do I get started?
That's really the big one. It's just, how do you get started? And I encourage all family members and everybody to just come in and get that veteran registered, get them in the system. And then you can have that conversation of where you want to go from there. Do you want to go the healthcare route? Do you want to go, you know, the dependency route? There's so many claim stuff is out there because it really depends on the veteran, the age, and all that. But really, as far as like benefits are concerned, I just want them to get them in there because I don't want it to be too late.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm running into with a lot of veterans is it's like they're coming to me in their 80s.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, I know they're on borrowed time and time is not on their side, but mm-hmm. I do what I can to get them in there so that their family's taken care of.
Right, right. So the thing to do is get in there now.
You really want to just get in there and just at least get it started because as like so many veterans, I mean, they may be fine now, but as many as I work with, all it takes is one fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, hey, where do I need to go here? Because that big thing is that number, that disability number. I try to get all veterans to at least 60%.
Because mm-hmm.
if you're at 60% disabled, you know, pretty much all the benefits are unlocked. There's more at 100%, but between 60 and 100, there's a lot when it comes to medical care.
Okay. This one says, this is a question that just came in. With all of the cuts the government has been making recently, has there been any discussion about reducing VRNE?
No.
Okay.
No, nothing that I have seen as far as education, because that's pretty much set in stone, and there's really no standard on it. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the veteran.
So VRNE stands for?
That's Voc Rehab and Education.
Okay.
That's the Chapter 31.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, listen, we don't have time to get to everyone's questions this morning. It's gone by really fast, so we'll have to have you back again.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming in, Jason. Is there a way people can reach out and contact you?
Yeah, I always have my email, which is jason.boatwright@va.gov, or they can text me. Trust me, I'll get to you. I'm up to 91 right now.
Oh, gosh.
But it's 850-356-3290. I always have my phone on me.
Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely.